time for my summer break, but the podcast will be back September 2nd with a special episode with two composers who are life partners and also work together with Hans Zimmer at Bleeding Fingers Music. Anje Rosemann and Kara Talve will inspire you with both the music of Prehistoric Planet and their personal stories, insights, and compositions. I'm including some clips here from that episode, and I've also recorded a couple of other fascinating episodes that will be released in September. If you'd like access to regular sneak peeks, you need to sign up for my newsletter on my website, leahrosemann.com.
You have to have that passion and drive and not letting the negativity.
It really comes in handy when I have to transcribe a song for The Simpsons.
I thought it would be fun to stitch together some of the many highlights from the season 3 so far. Please check out my back catalog for episodes you've missed, and keep in mind that you can use the timestamps if you ever want to skip to a certain section or music track in any of my episodes.
And what's nice is that, you know, when you're in a nice practice mode, it's like the more you listen, the more you're going to get here by not even necessarily practicing.
This man with tears in his eyes, not the first time, is looking at me and he's like, wow, thank you for sharing your story. And he's wondering, how do I express to the student, you just got to do the work and be willing to do it anyway.
And also of the West African ancestors of the modern banjo.
Actually get like one trip a day, and that's all I can manage physically. But the upside of this was that I practiced for like 8 hours a day for 10 weeks.
Willow, weep for me. Willow, weep for me.
Language is only a barrier, that, and we're not limited by it, you know? Never forget that we do this for ourselves.
This was intense, intense teaching. Every teaching assignment that I've had afterwards has felt easy by comparison. And how to stay calm and keep calm and have that calmness be the default when you walk into a room. So regardless of whatever kind of day that you had, you don't bring that into a classroom with your students. Your students are, they deserve the fresh you, no matter what. They deserve the calm you, no matter what.
When I'm working with a singer, there is of course a pop jazz tradition, but you know, you can do anything with that.
In
because most people think they can't remember the details of their lives. And I think that's largely due to the fact that we don't visit them very often. The other thing is that we summarize parts of our life. Like, so I can tell you, I went to school in a one-room schoolhouse and there was no running water and we walked to school and blah, blah. And I've told you the whole story. Now, of course, the story is much bigger than that. It's like pulling on a thread.
For people who want to write for film or music or television, I would say there are a few things, yes, that I tend to gravitate towards. The first one is a pretty common one, just to keep writing and keep trying new things, to say yes to various projects, especially as you're just getting started.
Le jour et la nuit. J'attendrai toujours ton retour.
And I know from the experience of hearing that music for a long time without really understanding what was going on, it can sound like just an avalanche of notes, and it can be very exciting to hear, but intimidating if mm-hmm. if you want to actually try to do that.
job of film scoring is pretty hard. You might write a really nice piece of music, but let's say someone says, you know, we changed our minds. We don't think that in these 2 seconds, we really don't want sadness. We want melancholy. And then at the snap of a finger, you have to change that.
And there was no running water, and there was like, you know, 2,000 pounds of rotting potatoes in the basement. But my family stayed there for 10 years. It was a wonderful adventure for all of us. And I think it put us on different paths than we would have found in New York.
He gave me permission to let that all go and really get into that interior world of performing. Where the fear is not showering.
I try and connect with things as deeply as I can. I mean, I love the fact in music that there are so many styles of music that you can explore, different instruments, finding your own meaning in being open to opportunities that present themselves.
I don't care what it is, you know, if it's got heart and passion and soul, I want to hear it, you know, I want to know about it. I think the world needs these students in the fine arts. And that degree needs to be just as important as an economics degree or a law degree. Sure, we're talking about composition and themes and variations and everything, but it's of value. And I want them to know they're of value.
We had a lot of time on our hands, so we would jam up, and that there would be long, long listening sessions.
I have to really be living out the strategies that I'm recommending for others and get better at using them.
I have this sort of energy in me because I want to just bring it to life. Yes, it's unbelievably exciting when you come across a piece you know has not been recorded before.
One of my main motivations is that, trying to break that stigma. Before Vela, I was trying to avoid bringing my background into my music. At that moment, I was like, you know, this is an opportunity to say, okay, I'm done with that.
And then the main thing is you have to be a nice person. You have to treat this person like a human being. And so that means you have to be at a certain point in your own development that you're able to basically do that. Not that you never make mistakes, but that your fundamental attitude is one of love and respect, you know.
You know, we go through periods that we don't know what we are doing. We make music and we don't know who wants to listen to it. Why am I here? All these, you know, questions. But when you go back to the beginning of all this, it somehow all clears out, you know, it's all clear again.
When I'm the most stressed, I just think about this moment where I arrive very early in the morning. I just enter the river and be just in the middle in the stream and just listen to what's around me.
To be in the middle of the music, nothing ever came close to that. You know, and to take in, yet once again, like watching this young man play the gourd. how anything at all can be done excellently.
Not able to sit upright, but still teaching that first session. And suddenly there were 60, 70 people in my session. There was still a sense of community, a sense of connection, and the sense of actually, you know, energy changing through the session. There was a huge sense of giving and taking and exchanging. And that was amazing.
You got to start with something that means something. And it's the best feeling in the world to be playing with people and you play something and then they play back to you. Like, oh my God, you're listening to me. You're hearing what I'm saying. And I thought.
Thanks for following the series on your favorite podcast player and sharing your favorite episodes with your friends, all of which help find new listeners. I have lots more episodes coming in this season 3 with a fascinating diversity of musicians and their stories and music.